This is Cody Eastlick, personal log. Day 21 in the Forbidden Zone. I've almost finished my survey of the Southern Sector. So far, I haven't found any trace of this downed airplane that was supposed to be carrying six crates filled with Avatar 3 4Ks. My contacts in Bartertown tell me it went down in this sector, but I'm starting to think I was conned by a bunch of pissant war boys. I'm continuing my search, but I'm not hopeful I'll find anything.
Who goes there?
What the? Where are you? Show yourself!
I repeat, who goes there? I have a high-powered laser pointed right at your head and I'll fire unless you tell me why you're here.
It is I, Cody, Lord Regent of the Terra People, and obtainer of cinematic antiquities.
Cinematic? Does that include documentaries?
Sure.
If you're so good at finding cinematic antiquities, prove it. What are your qualifications?
Avatar 2.
That was you?
Yep. No one even knew it was actually called the Way of Water until I unearthed it. Now everyone knows, thanks to me.
Then you're just the person I've been looking for. I too am searching for a rare cinematic treasure, but so far I've been unsuccessful.
What is it you seek?
A long-lost documentary called Congo. It's about my father, Herkimer, and how he and a bunch of people, including a talking monkey, found King Solomon's mines.
Are you sure that's a documentary?
Of course I am. My father told me about the legend, and as his father told him, it's my hope that the mines are still out there just waiting to be rediscovered.
And your father, Herk...
Herkimer? We called him Tim for short.
Tim? Like Tim Curry?
That's right. That was his stage name when he was an actor. How did you know?
Alright, I'm gonna level with you. I'm like 99% certain that what you're describing is a movie, not a documentary.
Ah! I believe you're mistaken. My father was not a liar.
I mean, he kinda was. He was an actor.
Okay, sure. I'm told he had a penchant for bad accents and overacting, but that doesn't make him a liar.
Okay. Calm down. I didn't mean to upset you.
I would appreciate any information you can give me as to the whereabouts of the documentary. I can pay you very well.
Is that a cheesy beefy melt from Taco Bell?
Mm-hmm. Vacuum sealed and stored for total taste preservation. And believe me, there's plenty more where this came from.
Is that a fact? Well, it turns out I may know exactly where your documentary is.
Really? You're not putting me on?
Of course not. It's currently sitting inside a little video store in Sector 2 called Apocalypse Video.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
World's most advanced communications technology. A shocking discovery has been made.
What was that?
Lock your remote. Give me a thermal reading. Resolve to 6-6.
It will take two young scientists into the heart of the African jungle. Where a secret hidden for 2,000 years holds the key to the future.
This is Karen Ross. 81452, Houston, do you read?
You used to work for the CIA, and now you're travel cone.
Some will come to it for science.
This is a big deal, Charles. This is a big find.
Some for fortune.
A diamond mine of incredible bounty.
And some to return home.
She doesn't really belong anywhere, does she?
No, she belongs here.
Together, they will search.
My boss, he thought I wasn't gonna make it. He sent another expedition.
Drawn deep into a mystery.
Camp destroyed. People dead. A gray gorilla.
No such thing as a gray gorilla.
I saw one.
And the more they discover...
Same hieroglyphics over and over.
The greater the danger.
What do they say?
We are watching you.
Help me! Help me!
Saw any animal move like that.
Shoot it! Shoot it! How intelligent are they?
See, they're smart. They're too damn smart.
Watch out!
Go! We're getting out of here.
What about them?
Put them on the endangered species list.
From the best-selling novel by the author of Jurassic Park.
The myth of the killer ape is true.
Congo, where you are the endangered species.
Herkimita, I'm sorry about the whole, you know, King Solomon's mines getting buried by lava and molten rock. I know that's a bit of a blow to you. How do you feel coming out of that screening?
Well, that was quite a while ago, David. It may yet be out there unburied in the wasteland.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we can, like, mine out that rock. Like, the mine's still there. It's just covered in a layer of molten rock. I guess it's not molten anymore, right? It's probably hardened.
Probably. Well, Cody, I gotta salute you. You're a real mensch, giving up, temporarily pausing your Avatar search, instead looking for King Solomon's mines with a complete stranger. That you're,
you know, you're... I'm nothing if not consistent. If I go into the waste and a female entity asks me to help something, I'm going to help.
Also, he is getting paid quite a pretty penny for it of Taco Bell. When was the last time you all had Taco Bell?
It's been months.
It's been too long.
Yeah, that's why I'm out there working the leads, guys, to get the Taco Bell I need.
You went Taco Bell last night, Dave.
I didn't realize you could vacuum seal burritos. That's pretty cool. It still tastes good. It's still cheesy. It's still gooey.
They introduced that. It's the vacurito. You know, it's like a whole thing.
Of course.
In my travels, I came upon the lost city of Taco Bell, so there was lots of vacuum sealed goodies there. almost as precious as the diamond.
just vacuum sealed burritos lying in the dirt.
Well, I'm your host, Dave. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Paco's Video. I'm joined again by
Thanks for listening. I'll just start at the top. Thanks for listening.
I'm joined again by my store regulars, Cody.
Hello. Oh, damn it, I forgot. I had a quote. It's fine.
Ryan.
Amy. Love ugly woman.
I'm also joined by Michael.
The 20th century sucks. Maybe the 21st will be better.
Yeah, right.
Now, Mike, tell me, is it true that when there's a full moon, you suddenly start thinking you're Elvis Presley?
You know it is, Dave.
I know, because I've seen you watching me. And, of course, we're joined by, what's your name?
Herkimita Homolka, formerly of Romania, as we are all formerly of somewhere now out here in the waste.
Okay, thank you. I have a hard time pronouncing your name. So just before we get into the discussion here on the documentary film Congo, did everyone eat their banana with the dope inside before we started recording?
Yes, I ate the banana with the dope inside.
Did we introduce Cody?
Perfect.
Too? Yeah, I was like the first, I think.
He was the first one.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I think I was the first one.
Cut this.
Because then I stuttered and I forgot my quote. Cut this.
You have your laughing and I will have mine. Okay, and now I'm going to cease the Tim Curry, or excuse me, the Herker Merker, whatever his name was. Herker Mahamulta.
Is it really that difficult? I can say your name, David.
I remember my quote. Edit this in. It's your leech. You take it off.
This movie could, this documentary could be alternately titled Crazy Accents, because everyone is pretty got an accent in this movie.
Yes. This game, this movie has the energy of like an old FMV game.
What does that mean?
Full motion video. It's like they're in the 90s. There was a lot of like live action. Like it's like where you see like a live action like actor like, hey there, like can you help us out? And you like press yes or no. And Tim Curry was in them. So definitely had some, you know, this connection there.
I vaguely remember Tim Curry in a Command and Conquer game
where
he was
right,
playing
seen
a Russian guy.
Yeah, it's FMV.
Okay. And he also had an equally crazy accent in that.
That's the one where he's like, well. Spies! That's where that quote is from.
It's a spy!
Spy!
You keep saying crazy accent. Is there something wrong with this accent?
No. Your accent's fine. David's uncultured. He doesn't understand.
So this was a couple years. This movie came out a couple years after Jurassic Park. And did you guys get the vibe that, and we all lived through it when it came out.
But, have we said the movie yet?
Congo.
All right, there it is. I'm just making sure.
It would have been in the little prelude, you know.
It was true. It was, but we usually cover those bases again. Yeah.
Congo : the true story of King Solomon's Mines.
1995.
Yeah, tried to be destroyed by Ceausescu, but he didn't get his hands on all of them.
Did you guys? Okay, so we all lived through Congo. Did you guys get the vibe that they were trying to repeat? Not even the vibe. They were flat out trying to repeat the success of Jurassic Park, right? I mean, it's Michael Crichton.
I don't think
Marshall.
So necessarily, because Michael Crichton has a long history of making movies. And the movies before Jurassic Park weren't Jurassic Park.
What are some other, you know? What are other Crichton joints?
Andromeda Strain. Westworld. Wrote and direct Westworld, which then Jurassic Park kind of becomes later. So I don't necessarily think I think
because I was bought into it. I remember seeing the trailers and being like, oh my God, they're Jurassic Park.
Crazy creatures.
I was like excited.
Well, yeah, but my point is Michael Crichton makes adventure movies. While the movie might have been marketed as the follow-up to Jurassic Park because it was the next one after it, like, he made Timeline, which is another weird adventure.
It does
movie
have a lot of the same beats as Jurassic Park, though. Like, I was even like, we're like, I was like it's noting, like, Marshall. We're 20 minutes into the movie, about 20 minutes in, and we're getting everyone's on a plane to go to the like crazy place scene that was like very Jurassic Park.
And I agree. I think my point is more, it's not aping Jurassic Park. It's just Michael Crichton
aping.
Has, well, he has nine.
Not aping Jurassic Park.
I know, adventures, but tech companies being in charge of things.
I would argue that like Michael Crichton though went from like not a household name to a household name. Like I knew who he was like, as a kid.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's not the case. I'm just saying what we're seeing is it trying to be Jurassic Park is really just it being a Michael Crichton joint.
So this Michael Crichton is famous documentarian.
Yeah, he originally was going to be like a doctor or a lawyer, but then he's like, actually, I'm making so much money as an author at like 24 selling these like books.
The diamonds.
Everybody wants the diamonds. You know, that's not. Yeah,
he needed a new cash machine.
Okay, so no, you're confusing. That's Travis. He's the owner of Travicom. That's different from Michael Crichton.
But he was in charge. This Michael Crichton was also in charge. That's not the same guy.
No, not same guy. Michael Crichton was in charge of the production of this documentary.
Yeah. Apparently, he wrote it, the treatment, and sold the movie before the book was.
Yeah, back in the 80s.
That's kind of. Yeah. Oh, in the 80s.
Yes, he started writing this book and pitched it in like 79. And originally, he wanted Sean Connery to be the Monroe role.
Well, maybe we should look.
Wait, is Monroe like the Ernie Hudson? Oh, the Ernie Hudson character.
He's the great white hunter who happens to be black.
Okay, so we kind of covered a little bit Michael Crichton in the genesis of this documentary, but let's talk about the cast. Crazy cast in this movie, right?
Oh my God! You got Tim Curry, you got Ernie Hudson, you got Laura Linney, you got not Albert Brooks. Everybody's here,
and of course, Amy the gorilla.
Amy, what a star.
I gotta say, like, this movie, this documentary, I'm just gonna call it a movie.
Documentary.
It feels so cinematic.
Yeah.
I will say, like, this came out in 1995, and I gotta salute the gorilla practical effects, like, suit stuff. Like, they were pretty convincing. Like,
one of my notes was like that I wrote was like, every time they're just hanging out, this gorilla looks awesome.
The gorilla is good.
I'm very impressed by, like, some of the action stuff gets a little iffy, but even that's, like, not terrible. It's better than I expected. But when they were hanging out, I was like, okay, I'd watch like a behind the scenes featurette on what they did with this gorilla.
Well, the faces were so expressive. Like,
overly expressive.
Like, well, I think so. This is Stan Winston. You know, this is post Jurassic Park, post Terminator 2. The guy's at the top of his game. And I think these effects still hold up.
Also, yeah. you have to give them a little bit of leeway. Real life, not scripted.
Yeah, they're real gorillas.
Yeah, I guess they were just like.
And Dave,
pointing
what
and
you're describing—that was Tim Curry's face.
Yeah,
that wasn't a gorilla. I know your eyes are all bleeding from all the radiation you've been getting outside.
Well, let's get into the story of this movie, Congo and the Lost City, and King Colon, the true story of King Solomon's Mines. Who wants to describe the synopsis here?
I think Herkimina could do it, right? This was something you've been questing for forever. Now,
I mean, you probably know this story by heart, right?
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. My father did tell it quite a bit growing up, but, you know, after a lot of hits in the head, I couldn't remember it exactly, which is why I employed Cody to help me find the last documentary. But yes, I believe, if I remember correctly, it starts with lots of shots of Africa, which looks like a
beautiful, straight out of the Lion King. Like, I was expecting to hear that. Nah,
Dave let you get 5 seconds before interrupting. Hey, can someone give the summary of the movie? And now, real quick, let me make a joke.
Just starts singing.
I'm sorry, continue.
And then it goes to very, very Kuna handsome, Matata. Very handsome man.
Ah, yes, Bruce Campbell. Yes, a very handsome man.
I surprised me handsome. He didn't skyrocket after this documentary.
Yeah, what a shame.
And
well, it's because he's dead in the mines. He didn't have anywhere to go after that.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yes, that's right. Yeah, later in the movie, he's laying there dead.
Yeah, he was murdered.
Yeah, he was murdered.
Don't ever watch this movie called Spider-Man. It'll confuse you.
A documentary about the man spider?
No. All right. Anyways, back to the plot of Congo.
So
that was Michael Crichton's next documentary, The Spider-Man.
I think we've established in the plot so far there is Africa.
Shots of Africa. And a handsome man shows up. Yeah, Herkimina, you don't have to go like scene by scene. Just kind of like paint a broader picture of what the plot is. What the history of the film is.
My father did not go this into depth, but the movie, and then they are attacked by who knows what, and then it cuts to,
Amy, love.
Yes.
Amy, love, Taco Bell, and Doom.
Yeah, the first thing we cut to is just all this Taco Bell wrappers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why you love this movie.
What do you think they were eating back then? Like, based on the wrapper
crunchy
situation.
Tacos.
Yeah, it was like they'd probably just introduced, like, in select markets, the chili burrito, you know?
Do you think they were maybe testing out the Baja Blast? Or was that...
No. Yeah, actually, Amy was... The green drop drink is Baja Blast.
That was an early formula that turned her into like what she is.
What did we get? What was vacuum sealed in our for our goodies?
Oh, it was the vacuum Gorda crunch, the
cheesy beefy melt, one of my favorites.
Yep, the nachos. You gotta have nachos, but instead of beef, I did notice it was a lot of like roach meat. But yeah, I'm fine with it. Anyways, the plot of the movie: we go to Amy, right? She's painting.
Yeah, she's with a couple of nerdy boys.
Yeah, a couple of nerd boys, yeah.
Not Albert Brooks.
Not Albert Brooks.
Yeah, he's no Albert Brooks.
Dave's taking a dig at the actor. He's like, you're not as good as Albert Brooks. But like, honestly, again, don't worry about it. Continue.
And so we are at, presumably, a place of learning.
All right, Herkimene, I have to step in here because I don't think we're going to get out of here on time if we continue to tell the story like you're telling
it. I am not used to giving synopses. Excuse me.
It's okay. So yeah, the nerdy boys, they're teaching Amy Good Gorilla how to sign language and then how to speak because of cool tech. Meanwhile, Laura Linna's character works for Travicom. They're the people who lost Handsome Man at the beginning in Africa. And... they need to go to the Congo to find him.
I need my space laser.
Really, the main guy, really, Travis wants a space laser with his
He's
space
laser. He's a very angry man. I'm used to the wasteland, but it seems like people back then were super intense as well.
Yeah, I would say Travis, bad gorilla.
I don't care about my son. What about my damn laser?
He wants his diamond. He wants the diamond. So he sends Lenny and says, he says, Karen Ross, you need to take over another expedition that's already going to the Congo. Boom, she finds the perfect one. Dr. Elliot, I think is his name, is taking Amy, Good Gorilla, back home to the Congo because she keeps having these nightmares. She's painting these green paint, the jungle landscape with a gold eye. And who shows up to fund this expedition?
With the open eye.
Who shows up to fund this expedition?
Yeah, see, my ring is the open eye. I got this from my father.
Yeah, exactly. So again, that's your dad. Your dad shows up. Hercule Homolka, formerly of Romania.
I had a jump scare when he started talking.
You didn't expect it. You didn't expect it to be that, and there it was.
Well, the beginning of the movie is definitely spooky. Very spooky.
Yeah. Right, yeah, it's spooky.
Now, there isn't a foundation in motion that would fund an expedition with that objective.
I will pay. I will pay for Amy to go home.
And who are you, sir?
Herkimer Homolka, formerly of Romania, free now of the chains of Ceausescu, traveling the world doing good.
So he funds it. They go to the Congo. They run into a bunch of problems. Joey Pants shows up to get them through customs and some other hiccups. And then they're in the jungle for a while. They go through a various adventure. They eventually discover, of course, the lost city of Solomon, the lost city of Zinj, the lost mine, the diamond mines of King Solomon.
They had to call it the lost city of Zinj because they didn't have the rights to say King Solomon's mines.
Is that true?
Absolutely. Or
like
the Bible.
I just thought it was interesting that they didn't just flat out call it King Solomon's mines. They had to fancy it up with
like
the
Cold
lost
War.
City
they
of
didn't
Zinj.
Want everybody looking for it.
That's true. Yeah, if the myth was called King Solomon's Mine, everybody would look in. But if it was like, oh, it's the lost city of Zinj, people.
No one cares about the city of Zinj. Yeah,
yeah, they wouldn't dive any deeper. Like, yeah, whatever. Anyway,
you put a sign out front that said "Lost Solomon's Mines." Like you're inviting, you're inviting people to rob you.
Like, oh, King Solomon, like from the Bible, I think. Anyways, they show up. It turns out the mine is guarded by evil gorillas, the killer ape. The myth is true. And then, they have to fight their way out.
And then, Laura Linney invents, like, an OP gun and just, like, shreds the gorillas, and then the volcano erupts and we're over.
Invents. That laser already existed. They were using it for communications. And then this thing is the next thing in communications, which is by using this perfect diamond from these diamond mines, the laser's, like, super powerful. So then she just starts laser gunning all of these killer gorillas. It's kind of sad because these gorillas... You know, they were bred for this. They were made there. It was honestly a tough
This
look.
Movie, like, maybe we'll get into it, but the last, like, few moments of this movie are wild.
That's where the movie really, like, goes from, like, oh, this is kind of an adventure movie. I get it. And then it's like,
It was almost like I didn't know if I should be enjoying what I was seeing. Because it was literally Laura Linney massacring all of these gorillas. And I know they're killer gorillas, but they're still animals,
like,
you know?
It's wild. She just is like, it's, like, not fair. Like, it's, chopping like, it's not a fight anymore. It's like, this is sad. Like, yeah, just slicing them in half with a laser.
But
Maternal instinct. Long may she reign. What the hell are you doing anyway?
What am I doing? I'll tell you what I'm doing. We're getting out of here.
We are. What about them?
Put him on the endangered species list. Come on, Monroe! Let's go! Move!
What the hell is that?
The latest thing in communication!
It would be as if we saw, like, the Terminator using a Gatling gun on a bunch of guard dogs. You're just like, oh, this is awful.
All of my care for these evil, ugly monkeys went out the window when they murdered, well, my father, first of all. Second of all, Kahega, that handsome, handsome Kahega, tough, strong, strapping man. They murder him, they die.
Yeah, they do absolutely brutalize your dad.
They literally smash Tim Curry's head.
They're gorillas. What do you want from them? They're so strong. Yeah. But yeah, so that's basically the plot of the movie. They escape the mine. They get into a hot air balloon.
And Amy decides to live with the gorillas, right?
Amy stays home. She found her new boyfriend, the silverback gorilla, and it's
who's like whole family probably was just murdered.
Well, no, because excuse me, Michael. Those gorillas are different gorillas.
Are they?
Remember, they had dead gorillas in their cave. They kill the regular gorillas.
The killer gorillas, the gray mutated ugly apes. They kill everything, including normal gorillas if they come in there. So
they also have like super slow frame rate speed. You know,
they
have,
yes, like, they are super fast gorillas, and it makes the camera go slow.
Yeah, that they go at 6 frames per second.
We have some of those in the waste where you have good and bad, like good Terras and bad Terras.
Oh, the Terra people? We know all about them. Ryan knows a lot about the Terra people, in fact.
And that sounds like, right? A cute little baby Terra person.
What do I know about Terra people? I forgot that part.
You've just been eaten by them a couple of times, I think. Oh, that's true. Okay. I've married a Terra person.
No, you were. I thought you were eaten. You were eaten by them.
I feel like I've only met evil Terra people. I don't know if I've met
the good Terra people.
By
my understanding, their culture kind of keeps to themselves. The bad Terra people are like, we're going to actually come out and kind of fuck up the waste.
The bad Terra people guest on podcasts
a
lot. A
lot of Congo.
Yeah.
I think it had been a long time since I'd seen this, and I forgot. Because everyone in this movie is basically playing it at like 11, but like I think my favorite, I think MVP of this movie that we don't see enough of is Joe Don Baker's character Travis, the megalomaniacal.
You would love him. He would be your favorite character.
He's just so entertaining to watch. Like he his first appearance, he gets out of the golf club. This is after Laura Linney has said like, oh, my ex fiance Bruce Campbell has found it. He's found the perfect diamond for our space laser that will be used for satellite communication, I guess. And Joe Don Baker gets out of this golf cart and he's carrying his like 9-iron or something. Which is an odd thing to bring into the building with you. You think you would just leave it with the golf cart.
Well, he needed
but...
it for personal protection. Right?
He's a rich guy, David. I don't know if you got this, but he's like a kind of a weird rich guy.
That's his
weapon. And they're just always
golfing.
Yeah, he probably didn't even come from the golf cart or golf course. He's probably just putting around in his own personal golf yard.
But he was one of the most like enjoyable things about the movie because like every scene he's in, which is, you know, honestly only like two or three, it's him raging and like smashing things at the golf cart and basically saying like, I don't give a damn about my shirt. I want my diamond for my space laser. I was dying.
81452. That is KR 81452. Houston, Travis, do you read?
Karen! Is that you?
It's me, Travis.
I thought I'd lost you. I sent another expedition.
Did you get it?
I have bad news. Charles, he was killed.
Did you get the diamond? Did you?
Yes.
Good girl.
I mean, it makes sense. The first thing in communication is talking to each other. The second thing is killing each other. Isn't that how humans work?
I think so.
Are you not a human? You're
a
human, right?
Yes, I am
right?
A human. Okay. That's why I can admit it.
Oh, just the way you asked made me think that maybe you're not human entirely. Is all. Anyways.
Who in the waste is human entirely? Come on.
Good point. You got a point.
Herkimina, are you from Spies?
I'm formerly of Romania. Remember the
I think Romania is in space right now. I think like whatever happened to make the waste.
Yeah, space Romania. Yeah, that's
space
true.
Romania. It's orbiting the moon right now.
I am from space. Yes, it was a how you say a dumb question.
Honestly, got his ass. Yeah, he's pretty good in the movie. I think the MVP, let's just go ahead and name our MVP, is for sure Ernie Hudson. He's the MVP of the movie.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson's pretty good.
Aside from Amy the Good Gorilla.
Who is Ernie? How you keep using these names?
Monroe. The Monroe.
Monroe. Yeah. Oh, it's like code names.
The Great White Hunter.
Yeah.
Who happens because they didn't want people to find them, so they use code names?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
his code name is Ernie.
I mean, I'm going to say that it's... Frank Marshall's best friend, Jimmy Buffett, is the pilot of the plane.
Wait, Jimmy Buffett is the pilot of the plane?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
This is apparently their best buds. Frank Marshall, Kathleen Kennedy, you know, Jimmy Buffett. They all go to Margaritaville.
Well, he showed up in Jurassic World.
Yeah, they go to Margaritaville together. You know, they're all great friends.
Oh, yeah. We haven't mentioned Kathleen Kennedy was one of the people behind this documentary.
Well, it's her husband is the director.
Oh, Frank Marshall. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Big thing. Big movie.
Mike, who's your MVP of the movie?
It's probably Tim Curry, which is like a boring pick, I feel like, but you know. A Bruce Campbell, I guess.
I was really disappointed.
Can we agree that one of the best lines in this movie is,
"What are you talking about?
There is no time. Once we let on what's happened, Zaire will shut the border. By the time the investigation's over."
Are you human?
I'd be human later.
See? Not even back then, not everybody was human.
I like that Tim Curry's character is like evil and loving it, you know?
Well, that's kind of funny is in the beginning they kind of treat him as like super evil. And then I'm like, why'd they show him evil when he's like, seems kind of like just dumb.
Goofy.
Like, yeah. But then, it was like at the beginning he's like, ugh. And it's almost like a trick, but it's like.
They do present it as if he's the one with ulterior motives, and then like pretty quickly he's like,
he wants the diamonds.
He wants treasure. Who doesn't want treasure?
But you kind of think he's like this mystical guy in the beginning when he introduced
mystical.
Him with, like,
You thought he was gonna cast spells?
Well, no, like he's like looking at he's at the presentation with Amy learning to talk, or not learning, but like showing that Amy can talk. And he's like looking at his ring, and it's like going like, huh, huh, huh.
"Oh
like,
yeah, doing, like, you do think like he's gonna like, have like a magical ring
like,
or something,
flashbacks
yeah.
and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that for sure.
Not magical, but you know what I mean. Like he believes in whatever it is.
I like the was he a general with the sesame cake,
Mr. Homolka? Well, stop eating my sesame cake. Stop eating my sesame cake!
Mm-hmm. Oh,
He was.
Don't worry, Lindo.
Listen, I love my father, but he could definitely be a jackass, so I think that guy was.
Like, I think he was a big bag of shit.
Yes, he was a rat.
Well, this is my little thing with the movie, because there's really fun. I think there's lots of great pieces in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I love these adventures, but it's almost like. None of them feel like they kind of go together in like this thing of like a thrilling thing to me. Like
it doesn't
the whole Delroy
sometimes,
like the Delroy Lindo thing when they're like bribing him, like he never comes back. Mm-hmm. Like there's like why is that scene there? It's just to be like jokes about.
There's a lot of things. Business that maybe doesn't add up to any like because they do. You're right. They have a couple scenes that essentially say the same thing, which is like to get through the customs in Africa is hard. And then they have a couple scenes that say the same thing.
Like we kind of already got that at the airport when stuff's blowing up and stuff. And then they go through like a checkpoint and then they go through this and then they're at Delroy Lindo and then they go. They're just there.
You know, I think like the thing is like for something like Jurassic Park, like the big thing is you're going to an island with dinosaurs and you have like an immediate hook of like, oh, there's going to be dinosaurs. Here, it's like we're going to the real life country of Congo and they like kind of like there's some of like the unexplored nature is like some of the excitement. There's also like. It's scary. There's black people here. Like, it's like definitely like that.
What?
Like,
Michael, what?
No, like that. I mean, I'm saying like that's like the vibe of the movie. Like, it's like the Heart of Darkness. Like, ooh, there's like there's like a couple scenes where it's like there's like the there's a scene in particular where there's like some like tribe doing like some like
the ghost
some
tribe.
Like some like dance or something, and it's definitely played as like a horror scene, but it's just like, but that's not dinosaurs, like it's not as like it doesn't have like that kind of big hook of like we're here exploring this like insane cool place.
But there's like all the characters though like lead into some like there's the, you know, in Jurassic Park there's the whole thing with Newman, you know, with Like that, like it seems so random at first, but it plays in later when he's revealed to be working at the park. And so there's like, that's what the Delroy Lindo kind of thing reminds me of, but then it doesn't play in later. It's just like,
there's some the stuff like least. they got the ape who's like, you know, Amy is like doing the drawings and then turns out it's the city of Zin. And there's some little things like that.
But there's just like a lot of other pieces that kind of fall off. But the thing is that there's so many good ones and there's funny things like there's like freaking hippo attack, like from
the hippo attack,
which is like it's random, but like it's just, I don't know, there's just like things like that.
That reminded me a lot of that scene in the original King Kong when they build that raft and then like a brontosaurus or something comes out of the water and like,
I guess that's true.
Like,
it is. That
I was getting
vibe.
Some King Kong vibes from this movie.
It's
kind of
like little like it's like I guess it is like obstacles and that, yeah. but not necessarily like a plot or not like connective thing. But
like, honestly, I was kind of surprised at how little the killer gorillas factor into the movie. Like, they kind of set it up in the beginning, like, oh, it's this, like, you know, blurry image on the screen. It looks like a monkey or a gorilla, but none of our people know exactly what it is. But they don't come in until pretty much the very end, which, you know, to the movie's credit, is very, very amazingly cool and stupid and goofy and fun.
My understanding,
it's surprising that they don't play that up, given that you got the gorilla on the poster, and that you would think that the movie's leading up to this huge reveal, but it's like it doesn't feel like the movie gives.
Is the gorilla on the poster not Amy?
Oh, that's right, it was Amy.
My understanding is the book, the textual documentary that the movie's based off of, includes a plot line of a bunch of rival communication teams working together to find the city before them. Travicom is like right ahead of them. So my feeling is that there would be more competition between the teams earlier in the movie, as opposed to, because you're right, like it feels like if the killer gorillas are the big bad of the movie, you'd think they'd show up more, which is why it's like, okay, well, we'll have a scene with the hippo, we'll have the scene with them getting shot down, all that stuff. I like that stuff's all good, but it doesn't feel as with the idea of, but then there's the killer gorillas
or the tech of what's
going you need like with Jurassic Park, you have that Star Wars King Kong, you have King Kong. There's like a thing here that's like, it's I guess it's kind of there with the gorillas, but you're right, like they save it like for the last 10 minutes, and it's something that I feel like should be, even if you only see them for the last 10 minutes, maybe set it up a little more. Like maybe they're coming across. Like
they're getting stalked through the jungle by.
Like they should have come across like a village where like everyone's dead or something, you know?
Well, it kind of feels like, I mean, I just kind of glanced at the trailer.
That's what happens in the book, by the way.
Excited about the trailer, you know? And I was like, oh, like, because it looks scary. Like I thought, I was like, man, it looks scarier than Jurassic Park. It looks fucked up.
The scariest movie ever made.
Yeah, I never saw it in theaters, but I saw it later like VHS. But the trailer kind of makes it look like it's Alien. Or something like in
like the whole time they're gorillas. Being hunted by the killer gorilla.
Yeah. Maybe they just didn't have enough footage with the gorillas.
That's true. They move so fast.
It's tough to kill everybody so quickly. They're like, well, we really only have 15 minutes of usable footage of the gorillas.
Yeah, you nailed it. Actually,
I think you
recontextualized.
Yeah,
they move
at 12 frames a second.
Well, they had to shoot it on their iPhones with slow-mo mode activated. Yeah. Yeah,
no, that's
was so jarring, that action scene at the end when they're in they find King Solomon's mines and they're going in, they're reading the hieroglyphics. And I almost thought like the movie we were watching like broke or something for a moment.
When they're reading the hieroglyphics, it felt like we're like, are we watching The Mummy right now? Like
But to speak to like the frame rate of the gorillas when they attack,
it's cool.
To me, it kind of looked like they were covering up something that didn't work.
You just got
flashes of it.
Oh, yeah, there's a Herkimina. I'll show you a whole aisle. There's a lot of mummy documentaries.
This is Rich coming from a James Bond fan.
Dave's
so much action of just like sped up, like yakety sacks.
Well, no, this is different. This is like, I don't even know if I'd really call it slow mo. It's just like they distort the image, and it's like, covered up something that didn't work.
It could be. Or, Yeah, I don't know. There's like I said, there's lots of great pieces. Just like this, for me, like they don't quite, like it doesn't quite have like this flow to it.
It doesn't
like it.
I would argue like it doesn't have a singular
that's probably
idea through the whole thing. Because I also think it's interesting that Amy Good Gorilla seems to be like the big plot
kind of
driver,
isn't. Yeah.
And the Dr. Elliot, I think whoever her handler is. Not Albert Brooks, as David says, and Michael says. He kind of just—I actually like his character because he's so not an adventure movie hero, right? He's scared by leeches. He doesn't want to cross stuff. As soon as they land, he's like, we're done. We're leaving. And Monroe's like, okay, go wherever you want, fool. You're not going to make it. So I like that character, but he kind of just isn't around or doing anything. Like, he's around at the beginning. Laura Linney's around at the beginning. They get to Africa. Monroe takes over. Elliot's there a little bit. Karen's there with Monroe mostly. So it does. There is this jarring thing of balancing.
I think as a kid too, I was like disappointed. I'm like, "Where's Amy? I want to see Amy talk."
We need more Amy. I agree.
They make it seem like she, like her ability to speak using this technology that not Albert Brooks has developed. You know, she signs and this technology allows her to speak. You think that's going to play like a pivotal moment in the movie, but. It doesn't really.
It absolutely does.
It scares the gorilla.
No, she surprises.
Yeah, she scares all the other girls when they're about to eat him.
No, but what I'm saying is it's not like satisfying because all she does is she just shows up and she's like, stay away, you ugly gorillas. And it's not a big enough moment. You think it's going to be a moment where she like gets through to them in a
meaningful way. Like a scientific discovery or something.
Yes, but really all it is just like, haha, I surprised you. I'm a gorilla.
You're not thinking enough about it.
Yeah.
The purpose of that scene was to say, oh, This is one of us, but also one of the teachers, because she talks like the teachers talked and taught us and controlled us. So there was not only was there a surprise from the monkeys that this monkey was doing something that they're not used to monkeys doing, but it was the voice of the teacher.
Is it like God? Like they knew Jesus? Like Amy is our God now?
No. Herkimer just laid it out. It's they remember the hieroglyphics. We are watching you. It's not the gorillas are watching you. It's the teachers. We're watching you. So the gorillas have not had the teachers for a long time. And then to have Amy speak to them, they're like, what the fuck? This is, you know.
But it just comes so little too late. Like, I feel like something like this would have been better placed maybe at the end of Act Two. And now the gorillas are like, who is this, you know, like, Amy, like, what is this thing that talks like the, you know, the Watchers, whatever? I feel like that could have played up to a more
they
satisfying
They probably
end.
Just wanted the rawness of the documentary to come through. They didn't want it to be too...
They
want to,
like, replicate or, like, make something.
Yeah.
Real. This is how
I don't know. It just wasn't satisfying enough to me, especially since, like you said, Amy feels so sidelined throughout most of the movie. It didn't feel satisfying enough for me. And then all of a sudden, haha, I talk, and now they're surprised, and now we're gonna chop you down with lasers. It's like it all happened so quickly.
Do you think like they had
and the volcano? Don't forget the volcano.
Yeah.
Oh, and the volcano. Oh, that volcano that sweeps up all the... Again, I know they're killer gorillas, but I couldn't help but feel sorry for them as the lava just engulfed them, and you hear their screams of anguish, like,
ah!
Because they didn't have any choice. It was sad.
It made me think that they were resigned to their fate. They were like, oh, our entire fate and our entire job is to watch the mines, and the mines are being destroyed, so now we must destroy ourselves as well.
Yes! Because there are scenes of gorillas just jumping into the lava willingly, and I'm like, what am I watching right now?
I just explained why, David. It was because their whole purpose was being
they're hard
being
workers.
Taken from them.
They have
and
a
so they, say,
they have a really
no
toxic
now.
Warrior culture that, you know.
Yeah, well, they have a toxic working culture, I would say.
Yeah.
Because they're like, without a job, what is my life?
Yeah, the work-life balance of these silverback gorillas in Solomon's mines is terrible.
Bad.
They have barely any time for family. Very little hobbies.
Well, and you read all about, you know, the history books about these kind of company owned towns and how bad it is.
Right. Solomon was basically a robber baron.
Totally. What a bastard.
There were early attempts.
This documentary is a testament to it's anti-corporation and it is anti.
You're absolutely true. You're absolutely right. It is.
I think
it very much
the Congo movie is why we need strong unions.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. Travicom's the enemy. King Solomon was the enemy.
Maybe they
saw in Amy, led by one powerful man.
Maybe they saw in Amy a union leader, and so that's why.
Yes, someone to speak for them.
I will collect union
dues. Before they could change their whole society for the better, freaking Laura Linney comes in with a laser and is like, let's put them on the endangered species list.
She's bad because, remember, at that moment in the movie, she still thinks, because she's a fool, that Travis cares about Charlie. She still believes that, right? Because it isn't until afterwards that she's like, I said that if you ever gave me a reason to think that you sent me here for some diamond and not your son, that I'd make you sorry.
I don't think that she actually believed him.
She couldn't have, because otherwise she's insane. But
can I Okay, while we're on Laura Linney, so we've kind of mentioned a little bit, like, Ernie Hudson's fun. He's doing, like, his fun hunter thing.
It's like, he doesn't really get to do that, I feel like.
Yeah, he's great. Ernie Hudson's truly great.
I feel like he shines in this movie.
Totally.
And then we mentioned Jordan Baker. Laura Linney in this movie is so unlikable. I hated her.
Laura Linney? I didn't hate her.
Oh, yes.
You didn't like a strong woman?
She just seems like unnecessarily mean to non Albert Brooks in the beginning. She's like taking over his thing, and I guess that's her character. Yeah, like, she's in the CIA. She's tough.
She's desperate. It is a woman who is desperate to go find her
Charlie. She's got to find her Charlie.
Yeah, like the most beautiful man ever.
I don't know.
Yeah, she's a beautiful man.
She was just like, she was just kind of mean to everybody in most of the movie. And like, I don't know. I didn't like her.
You know,
her.
This she's... actually tracks because now that I think about it, it's kind of a sausage fest in here. So maybe you guys just not used to.
There is a woman here. She's usually, but she might be crawling around the vents right now. I don't know why Dave keeps her there, but.
Oh, David. She likes it. Oh, so it's from that, huh?
Likes it.
You are a corporation too, right?
Yeah, Dave is the real. That's why he likes Jordan Baker. He's like, I'm the Travis. I'm him. Finally, representation for me, the man who's making something here in the
West. You should hear about the union busting Dave has been engaging in.
It's insane.
No, I just, again, like when the first thing she says to not Albert Brooks is like, so what's your deal? Why you do this?
Mm-hmm. The first thing she says to him is, you got my emails and you got my phone messages, and he said, yes, I've been very busy. I've been ignoring them, basically.
Mm. No, but she's just some rando who comes in and is like, I'm going to completely hijack your expedition.
She's desperate.
And then also, like, you know, basically shit all over your life's work.
Listen,
like, well,
Cody filled me in on your extracurricular activities, let's call them. I'm sure you have had your bouts of desperation as well.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
About?
Let's all take it back to the movie. Laura Linney's character.
I like Laura Linney's character, first of all. I just want to throw this out there. Dave does not speak for me.
Because
she's
right,
great. She's one of the tops.
I do think she, in the movie,
she's big.
She tries to make a kind of a middle ground with Elliot, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't like that. He can tell, oh, this is being taken over by something, so I'm not happy. So they throw bars at each other, of course. And I would argue that she's not mean to everybody because once she meets Monroe, she considers him equal. And then through the rest of the movie, they talk with each other. They're always in the front of the pack talking about like, oh, what are you following? Oh, I'm using this tracker. What does it track? You know, she explains things to him because she views him on the level, right? Which is
she's rightfully dunking on not Albert Brooks because
Her identity is less, I'm a doctor of communications and this guy's a doctor of animal sign language, primatology, whatever he is. She's like, I'm an operative and Monroe is an operative. So I would just argue that while she's mean to Elliot, she's also given reason because he's abrasive to her.
The monkey is abrasive to her.
Amy throws eggs at her. Like the first thing Amy gets to do, she throws an egg at her.
She also the first thing she does is call her ugly.
Well, yeah. Amy's a little bit rude.
The aggression did not start.
That was just lost in translation.
Laura Linney.
I think she called her ugly because she could sense that she had like this bloodlust for her kind.
Well, maybe
she hates her kind. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. I guess maybe this is just a bad first impression.
No,
you know,
maybe
you only get
Amy's
to make one
like
impression.
A keeper. Like, not Albert Brooks is like a incel, and he's like, all women are ugly. You know, or something.
Whoa.
Like that.
He's been training her? No
training
way.
Her to
I
hate women.
That. Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't see any evidence to the opposite.
They're like
so
listening to like Jordan Peterson podcasts.
Yeah,
Richard, his cohort is a very beta male. So
you know, it's Richard. Honestly, I was thinking about it. He kind of just exists to die at the end.
He's a non-character.
Every beat that he gets could be given to Elliot, and I think that would help him have a little bit more to do in the jungle. Like he could be scared about things. He could be trying to make conversation. Like it's insane to have Richard at the very. They're at the doorway to the Lost City of Zinj, and he's just now trying to talk to Kohega and be like, so what's up? Or no, it's Claude. He's talking to Claude, right? It's insane to say after 7 days in the jungle, this is the first day where he's like, so what's your name? Like,
I don't understand why these men go. Why did he agree to go?
Remember, originally they thought they were just going to fly into the Congo, take a jeep out to the Sahara and say, okay, Amy, this is home. Now we'll take you back. It all went to heck when they landed.
It became Kafka.
Kafka-esque, yes.
I'm glad you brought that up. So the big thing, not Albert Brooks' whole mission basically is like, oh, like Amy's been having these issues, you know, it's been messing up with the research or something. Like, we got to bring her back home. But to what end? Are they intending to just leave her there? Or are they hoping that by bringing her back to her home...
she'll have a psychological breakthrough.
No, Dr. Elliot wants her to go home. He says to his father, I guess. I don't know. They're having lunch. He says to him...
oh, he's like the dean of the college, yes.
So yeah, their intent is simply just to drop her off where she was born.
No,
and that's
David,
it.
May I finish? He says that we take her home so she can teach the other gorillas. Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the reason they're so focused on bringing her home is because she seems to be having nightmares. And so it's like, okay, clearly living in this environment is not good for her anymore. So let's take her home. Yeah, let's take her home. And also, side benefit, she can teach the other gorillas sign language.
I don't even think that was a side benefit. I think that was his way of getting the corporation that needs to agree.
Should we watch Free Willy?
Yeah. Probably.
Right. Yep, we should.
I think out in the waste, I think I met a orca person, and they would love it if we watched it.
Free Willy? Is that like a porno document?
No, it's not.
is her name Orcana?
Orcana? How did you know? Have you spoken with Orcana? We'll talk about it later. Anyways, back to Congo.
All right, well, I'm glad you cleared that up, because the whole movie, I'm just like, why are they sticking so hard to this just to drop her off in the jungle?
I mean, you were so worried about them killing the killer apes, but you're like, just want them to drop her from a plane and say, hey, have a nice day.
No, I missed the part where their aim was to have her train other gorillas.
I think it's, I don't think it's like super, like,
it's just one discussion. It's one scene where he says, okay, she can do this.
He uses it to get the corporal pig fox to say yes.
This movie has like a million other things it's got to get to. They got to get to the hippo attacks.
I think the problem is, like, you know, if I'm viewing this movie as like a video game character creation screen, and you know, you have the
weird
little,
way to
like,
view a movie, but okay, continue.
I've been playing a lot of video games lately, so it's on my mind. But it's like you have all these things, like, oh, you could upgrade like their strength or their vitality, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at this movie in that sense, like, they maxed out their goofiness, but they didn't move the plot meter up enough. Like, there's just not enough story really in this movie. It's like the really weak sauce in that.
But the characters to me make
the movie. Yeah, but and I think that's what I think the characters are and the craziness are what makes this movie memorable and fun. Like, this is a fun, goofy movie. I had a
and
fun
I think that these are the elements that are explain why. So there's a pinball game for the Congo, which rules. It's like a great pinball table, and I think we're establishing why. Like, this movie has all the elements of a good pinball table.
Pinball,
yeah, it's something loser nerds play.
Yeah.
Oh.
Guilty is charged.
yeah, there's it's. I'm trying to think of other little things that like, because there's some cool set pieces. It just, it's,
yeah.
What I was saying was, like, it's like flair for me.
The thing I kept thinking is, I wish more adventure movies existed like this. Like, because when they're just running around the mine, you're like, look at this weird set they built, and now it's on hydraulics, and they're doing all this cool stuff. I mean, look at this weird mine they found.
Yeah.
And then, like, the city, I love, you show me a lost city in some densely packed foliage, I am.
It kind of made me want to, like, replay some of the Uncharted video games.
So it made you think of video games, too. Interesting.
Well, where do we think the city is? Now, we have not even gotten to that part yet.
Oh, right. That's what you're here for. So it's definitely around the Congo area.
So we have to go to where's Africa?
Ah, yes. You know, we'll talk about this later. We don't have the time to chart the entire journey to Africa.
That was the whole point of me giving
We're going to have to sail across the acid Pacific. Or I guess, we are on the West Coast. I think taking the Pacific would be easier. You know, it is, again, acidic, but it's just what we'll have to do.
Are we sure where Africa is today? Like, it may be in a totally different spot.
Moved. Honestly, the only way to know is
Romania
is
in space. Like, we...
Romania, we should go to Romania. They'd have a better view on their Earth, or
good idea.
There's a guy who runs the Citadel, and I think he might know some guys who have, like, looked around and seen what's going on with the world. It's It's in a state right now.
That's a good idea. You know, David did not earn his super nachos. All he did was degrade my father and the hero of the movie, this Laura Linney.
I mean, we didn't have to let you in the store at all. So,
whoa, we know David doesn't like your kind, Dave, coming in the store, and I do mean women.
Dave was the event, David.
The only thing more racist than this movie is Dave.
Now put down my sesame cake.
I would argue this movie's not actually as racist as it could have been for the early 90s, but that's just me. I think
just
it could
weird
have been
stuff
a lot worse.
That's, put that, put that on the poster. Not as racist as it could have been.
Like, I really it's always like this movie, and you know the documentary, maybe this is how it was at the times, I don't know. But it did not escape my attention that at the end with the killer apes, that the working men were the African men, and they all got killed and slaughtered by the
yes daddies. Well, that's tough. But hey, to put it into perspective, it is a majority African cast. So look at that. That's pretty progressive.
But they were used as fodder for the monkeys.
Yeah, their like cast list was probably like evil black person. Like that was
character. Think so. What are you talking about? That's my point. I don't think this movie, aside from some stuff with Richard or Homolka, like nobody else.
I'm thinking of the spooky tribes,
the people. Ghost tribe. Yeah. I think that has like the whole, you know, Orientalism, like, oh, the other. But I also think the fact that it has Monroe being like, hey, they think it's funny that I'm in charge because I'm black.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's definitely like of its time. Like it's got like the 90s thing where it's like aware of it a bit and like, but also kind of.
But I would say for the most part, they show up in Africa and then it's like, yeah, here's Africa. Everybody here is African. Like that's what this
is.
It was
very
this world
cool to
is this
hear the language being spoke.
They're all speaking different languages, and then they play it up a little bit with. I mean, not play it up, but they have a beat of it with Richard being like, "Oh, what's your name? Oh, my name's Claude. Oh, that's an odd name from. Well, where are you from? Like Richard is being shown to be an ignorant idiot despite being an educated college guy. Oh, where are you from? Mombasa. Oh, that's a strange name from a guy from Mombasa. And Claude's like, what do you actually know about Mombasa? Oh, nothing. So then why the fuck are you talking? And then he throws his cigarette at him. Like,
this is actually one of the more progressive movies in the 90s.
Yeah, I'll say joke. on the
and
progressive
also,
scale that we all recognize
as
and know.
As far as David is concerned, this is progress.
Was Do the Right Thing 89?
Yeah.
I was trying to think, like, does this Eclipse Do the Right Thing?
Well, I gotta say, like, we mentioned before, like, it has a lot of fun, like, hallmarks of these movies. Like, I'm a big sucker for, like, scenes of going on a journey and you get, like, Trek music, you know, walking through the jungle.
Trek music? Cool. You love when, like, All-Star starts
playing? Trek. You know, like, trekking through, like, a dangerous
wilderness. Body
wants
hippo.
But also, like, I think another thing this movie does, and it's a crime that he didn't get more roles after this, but I think it shows that Ernie Hudson was a really good freaking actor, and he's got charisma to spare, and like, I think his bits in the movie, I think, are the most successful comedy bits, like, specifically the one, my favorite one is when the silverback gorilla shows up.
Yes.
And it's this tense scene where he's like, you know, don't move, like, don't move at all, and then it cuts, like, a close-up of Not Albert Brooks, and then there's a whole the scene plays out and the gorilla runs away, and then it cuts to a wide shot and Ernie Hudson and all the other people are like way back, and he's like, what'd you do?
You did good.
Where'd you go?
I ran away. Sorry.
I ran.
Yeah, he says, I ran away. Sorry. Like, real quick.
That worked for me. He was funny.
Well,
was
you know,
good.
Something that's interesting is the Monroe character in the book. Originally, Michael Crichton wrote the book to be a Alan Quartermain style like adventure thing with an explorer as the lead. Sean Connery was supposed to be Monroe, and Monroe would have been the lead of the movie.
I ran.
So maybe a little bit of Hollywood racism then, that they were like, actually, let's bring up the monkey teacher as the co-lead.
I think he's like the only actor I don't recognize.
Really. His name's his name's not Dylan McDermott, right? Is
well,
that
why
who
would
it is?
You Dylan recognize Walt. Them? They are just
Dylan Wall.
His name is Dalbert Hooks.
Yeah, yeah. Dalbert Hooks. He's in a bunch of 90s stuff, but I just think he doesn't ever.
It looks
pop
like Nip Tuck was his biggest show.
There you go.
That was his kind of big claim.
But
thing,
but the thing is like, I'm just trying to think of like actors of the time that you want someone that's not like,
you know, like a Jim Carrey popping off. I'm trying to think of like someone that can kind of give like a little bit more
Jeff
juice.
Goldblum?
Yeah, like a Goldblum, but he was just in Jurassic Park.
Just
so like
make this,
like
just that. Really lean into this.
That would have been too obvious
just,
that they're like,
just
we
something
just want
with
to replicate
juice.
The success
like, needs,
of Jurassic
he
Park.
He needs some juice, even though he's...
Brent Spiner? Brent Spiner?
Yeah, I know what you mean though, Ryan. But like I said, I think it's just because his character isn't supposed to have juice. And then that's why it's kind of split between him and Richard.
Oh,
and, you know, they just kind of...
You're right.
You're right.
They should have been combined. That's probably... The other actor is better, I think, that guy.
Can you imagine the casting call for this movie? It's like, all right, so you're playing a character with not a lot of juice. He's pretty boring, and no one's going to remember you were even in this.
I mean, he can't help his personality.
Right. True. They don't do
like
casting
some
call.
Other people we know.
Yeah.
Who's that pointed at? Were you looking at me?
I think you're. I wasn't
necessarily talking about anybody in this room.
I think he's talking about everybody.
I don't know. I think it might
room.
Be time for you to go, Herkimina. You're getting a little rowdy.
No, I think. It's like there's so many things I like. Yeah, just, it's like I was thinking of The Mummy just a couple years later and things, and it's like what that just like kill it. And
if this had been a Steven Sommer production, this would have been. Yeah. A million times better.
I want to go to I don't want to watch the movie again probably ever, but I do want to go to Barter Town and play the pinball table some more after watching this.
The pinball table's fun, and if you don't feel like going on the whole, and I will say this, the movie is not long. It's only like an hour and 40
minutes. This does feel like a movie that would be like 2.5 hours or something, but
it's
not. It's not. Yeah. I love that.
I think it moved pretty well, but I will say, yeah, like I just The frustrating thing about the movie, like we said, is just like the story doesn't really come together in a satisfying way. It's not until the last 20 minutes when they're being chased by the killer gorillas where I feel like the movie really kind of kicks into gear and goes like off the chart crazy, you know, lasering down gorillas and whatnot. Again, I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. I was hooting and hollering, but I didn't feel good about it.
I don't know. Like, to me, Frank Marshall, like legendary producer, has produced like one of the greatest movies ever.
What are some, in my opinion, what's some Frank? What's some Frankies?
Well, he's everything. Like I'll go down his list. He produced Poltergeist, Color Purple, Empire of the Sun, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Hook, freaking Sixth Sense, Sign, Seabiscuit, Bourne Supremacy, Benjamin Button, Jurassic. Yeah, like he's just the guy. He's him, you know, he's done a ton of stuff.
It is an Amblin production, so it's people who make the movies that are your childhood.
Back to the Future, Goonies. It's like so it's one of those things where he set up all these guys. He set up Spielberg especially. He's like, I can do it. Let me in, coach. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's trying to do that. You know, it doesn't have quite the hand.
I feel like I think his best movie that I've seen was Arachnophobia. That's a movie that I think balances like story and scares and comedy better than this one, I think. Oh. This one, I think he bit off a little more than he could chew, and maybe they need to amped up those story beats a bit. And like you said, I think they would have been good to maybe combine a couple characters and give a character a little juice, as we said.
You know, we have Arachna people in the waist.
Yeah.
Please don't talk. You are nailing down on my, I'm an arachnophobe, please.
Really?
I don't even want to hear anything about spiders.
Should we watch Arachnophobia?
I've never.
Maybe for an upcoming Shocktober or something, we can get into that.
I think as an adult,
what if we do Spider-tober? Like,
Spider-tober?
All spider movies.
It's Spider-tember.
Spider-tember, yeah.
That would make more sense for Spider-tember, because admittedly, behind the scenes, we've already told the goth community that October will be Goth-tober.
Yeah, right.
So
I mean, we have lots of, there's lots of great, we have the Spebuary, Sparch.
Legged Freaks.
Remember that the calendar doesn't exist like it used to here in the waste. Like,
we don't adhere to the Gregorian calendar in the waste.
Yeah, we don't adhere to the Gregorian calendar anymore. There's more than 12 months. I'm pretty sure there's like 16 the last time I counted. Oh.
Well, and also we don't know about the Earth might be orbiting in a different we don't even know if the sun's out there. It could be like something.
Well,
else.
We see a star, but is it Sol? Is it
sometimes.
Our star from the past? Who can say?
Well, we could do some things like you know, Arachnophobia.
Okay.
We can do Along Came a Spider.
Sure.
Enemy.
Oh, geez, we could do
Charlotte's
Spider-Man,
Web.
The other documentary.
Spider-Head. You know, the...
Sure. Real quick, I think once we hit the point in the show when we're pitching later episodes, we can wrap it up, right? We can hit the
recommend
and we should wrap it up.
Well, plus I have to go get our balloon so that we can fly to Romania.
Yes.
Well, let's get
so we can fly to space.
This- some last thoughts on with our Romanian guest. I feel like, you know, I want to hear about Congo and your love for.
Well, yeah, like, was this did it live up to the expectations?
Yeah, the monkeys played a little bit more of a prominent role.
Do this.
From the stories from my father, I agree with that. But again, maybe they just had, you know, very little footage of the monkeys because they all died. And
we killed too many of them. We didn't leave enough left over to shoot the action scenes. Laura Linney went crazy with the laser, and now we...
That wasn't in the script.
Yeah.
That was our whole second act, and you ruined it, Laura.
That's why it's only an hour and a half. Is it? They're like, they expected 2 hours. Like, the monkeys, the killer apes will be around for another hour. And Laura Linney's like, look at what this laser does.
I'm putting them on the endangered species list.
And I think that, that idea of going to Romania so we could see the whole of the world. We didn't necessarily have to watch the movie for that idea. I don't know where that idea was before the movie, but...
I forgot that Romania is in space. That's my bad on that one, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I gotta say, the two of you together, you're a good pair. I'm getting a lot of juice out of this relationship here.
Yeah, Cody, I don't know if you're married right now.
Professional as of now, but I can see some things happening between the two.
Yes, Michael, I may be married, I may be married multiple times, but here in the waste, baby,
you have a lot of
ex-fiancés, right?
Like Laura Liddy did.
Yeah, bigamy is legal in the waste.
Well, I mean, it's just like it's not illegal. Like, what laws are out there, man? We know there's none.
Yeah.
What happens in the balloon stays in the balloon.
Yeah, once we're in international air, it doesn't count anything. Yeah.
You know, as long as everyone's on the same page about it, and it sounds like everyone is, you know, I support this relationship.
Yeah,
you guys are all, you're all...
They're a polycule. Yeah, the three of them. Yeah.
Poly, right?
Herkimina, I'm curious, as we wrap up and give our final thoughts, what was your favorite part of the documentary?
It was nice to see my father again. That was nice.
Before he had his face.
Before he was murdered by AIDS. And it's good to know what happened to him, guys. I know you've been worried about that. Like, where did he go? Well, now you've seen him.
He could still
die.
Be down there like Bruce Campbell was.
When he told me he was going to find the lost city and there's killer apes there, I kind of figured when he didn't come back. By the killer apes.
That's good. That's good deductive work. Yeah, good call.
There's so many... Handsome, handsome men in this movie, and beautiful shots of Africa.
Beautiful apes.
We don't have any greenery in the wasteland.
No, it's tough. Maybe Africa's different. Maybe it's got greenery.
Oh. Does anybody want to come to Africa with us?
I want to check it out.
I don't want to leave the store.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. I hear there's spiders out there. I'm a no-go.
Well, invite the event lady, too, when you... Let her
ask
or whatever you do.
She is perfectly happy where she is.
Oh, weird. Dave's happy to speak for women in his building again. There he goes again.
You know what's kind of laughing about? What point was that? Not to bring it back, not to derail slightly, but they're getting bazookas at when they're flying through the air, and then Laura Linney, and you know, in a badass moment, grabs the flare gun to shoot.
So badass.
But it's sort of like they kind of look like they're kind of like. Not looking at any, like, it's very, like, I don't know, they look very
like
stone-faced. Yeah. Well, like, it looks cool, like, effect, I think, but, like, just their faces just feel very much like, I don't know what we're doing. Like, it's just kind of like, like, there's not really, like, any, like, emotion on their face when they're, like, you know, shooting that flare gun. I don't know why, it's just something that stuck out.
Because they're badass. They're
badass.
Are the badassies.
Well, the problem was they were inside a really loud plane, the door was open, and they couldn't hear the direction that Frank Marshall was giving them, so they didn't really know what they were doing.
Yeah, they were in the plane.
I mean, yeah, maybe
just
that
stick
was
your
their
hand
first
out.
I forgot. It's just documentary. It's just how it was.
It's just how it was.
Maybe they never shoot flares before. Although, wait, what's CIA?
We don't have the time to get into that.
Okay.
An even bigger, more evil organization than Travis Corp. Yeah. Anyway. Well, let's get into recommendations. Mike, let's start with you. Would you recommend Congo, The True Story of King Solomon's Mines?
No, I wouldn't. I'm sorry. I didn't like this movie very much.
You don't condone guerrilla murder?
No, I mean, I think
he
there's like...
He does condone that. He just didn't like the way it was shown.
You know, like, I would say, like, if you're interested in this, like, watch, like, you know, watch The Mummy, watch King Kong. I don't know. Even the Peter Jackson King Kong I would throw out over this, or maybe watch Jurassic Park or something. But there's other, like, you know what, that was that movie that came out, The Lost City, kind of like in like the 2020s, that was like kind of like a comedy throwback. Watch that. That was like,
oh, maybe we'll watch that one too. Maybe that's about Zinge.
Yeah.
Let's put it on the list.
All right. All right. Dave, I am going to need to borrow a portable DVD player.
All right. You got it.
Let, region unlocked.
You know about regions?
Region unlocked.
I'll see if Chad could whip something up in the 3D printer. But anyway, Ryan, what about you? Would you recommend Congo?
I'm kind of in a similar boat because, I mean, it was one that, like, I don't know. I was like, love it. Like, Thousand of Love as a kid, and it must have not, I don't remember much, but it didn't click with me then, and there was things here where I was like, oh shit, I didn't remember Bruce Campbell in this and stuff, and there's like all these characters popping up, Joey Pants and all these things, but the pieces, like, there's like, I love like that hippo attack, but I wasn't like oh shit, what's gonna happen? It just kind of like happens and it's over. Like, it was just a lot of that throughout the movie, so it's a lot of like these nothing really too connects too much, but I think it is impressive, some of the stuff in it. So I think for like, you know, they don't make movies like this too much anymore. So I don't know. There's something to see for it.
And Ryan, stuff, it, you love gorillas. Like, you have a poster on your wall right behind you of gorillas.
I do. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I do love gorillas.
Yeah.
But with a Z. They don't,
so is that, so I'm sorry. Was that a recommendation? Yes. No.
No. I mean, I'm going to say it's a, it's like a, not a strong no, but like, you know, it's like a really weak yes, but yeah, I'm in between.
Is this like a put it on while you're like doing something else recommendation?
I mean, I was folding socks and stuff when I was watching.
Folding socks for an hour and 40 minutes.
Which was really weird. We were in the screening room watching this and you brought in an ironing board and your laundry. It's like,
it was weird you were ironing your socks.
It was your laundry, Dave. I don't think you can bully him for doing your laundry.
I was doing
that's
Dave's
right. He does,
laundry.
Yeah, you do. Dave does make Ryan do all of his laundry. And he has a but lot of, he goes through a lot
chores,
of socks.
Right? I'm very strict on the chore schedule. Ryan has chores. Jackie cleans the air vents. You know, that's why she's up there all the time. And I'm still trying to think of something for Mike to do.
I do everything. You? I do everything else.
I'm the boss. I don't do shit.
Oh, corpo. Typical corpo big fuck.
You're absolutely right.
I supervise.
You guys want to know something? Dave doesn't even like put food in his mouth. I have to put the food in his mouth.
I have to sometimes pretend it's an airplane
that's being shot down in the Congo.
Oh, are you
oh, we're going
the
down. Oh no.
You put it in his mouth, you know.
Yeah, that's how I take my fiber supplements. He puts them in a chopped up banana and he feeds them to me.
Wonderful.
And I do appreciate
that. You have bananas?
No, not really. It's...
Well, no, that when I say banana, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've heard of this candy.
Banana runs.
Runs. You know, we chop them up, put them in there. But anyway. Cody, what about you? Would you recommend Congo, the documentary?
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's a fun little adventure movie. And it's short. I mean, you know, if you're even considering it, you have the time. The time you would spend scrolling through the shelf of what else you'd watch. You'd
if you've listened to this, we're approaching the runtime of the movie.
Yes. So yes, I say, you know what? Recommend. Also, you get to learn about Amy and her green drop drink and how she's a good gorilla and she's beautiful and I love Amy.
I love Amy.
You know what? I too would actually recommend this because again, I would recommend it with the caveat that it is goofy, but I think enough time has passed since, you know, it came out. Like, I would doubt anyone has any bias going in. Like, oh, I saw the trailer. It looked like Jurassic Park. Cool. Like, I feel like that's so far behind us that you could just take this movie on its own and enjoy it for what it is, which is just a silly adventure movie. But it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Herkimina thought, because you have now reached you've got the cinematic antiquity that you've been looking for. Did it live up to expectations?
Yeah. Also, these recommendations you are recommending to your listeners to watch.
To come and rent.
Oh, that's a good point. You know what we'll do? We'll make a new edit where we change some of the details around, because I know you guys are going to go to Romania to look for this.
Yeah, take this off the shelf for a few weeks to give us a head start.
We'll do an edit ourselves.
We'll delay the release of this episode until you've had a chance.
Why don't you just, that the only copy you have, or?
Hold on, what are you doing with it? Wait, get away. Oh my god, she broke it over her knee!
No, that was our only copy!
Never mind, no one can watch Congo now.
Not nobody else can find this city! This is my city! This is my father's city!
Put the gun away, we're sorry!
Put that laser down, put it down. No, wait, don't shoot! Ah!
Nailed it in one. Good job, everyone.
I fucking love this movie, guys. This movie is one of my favorite movies of all time. I can quote almost the entire movie.
You gotta stop coming in as a character when it's a movie you love so much.
I brought it up in the beginning. I don't know if I should be Herkimina or if I should be Kiana.
And it's tough because Herkimina crushed it. You did a wonderful job.
I fucking love this movie.
Are you still recording? Okay.
Top three characters are Laura Linney, Monroe, and freaking Delroy Lindo. How dare you, Dave? I can't believe you came for my lady. Laura Linney is like the poster child strong woman in this. At no point did I think that she was going more over the line to bitchy. They started it. She was extremely polite.
That's a male bias.
And it was not her first time.
That was only Dave, for the record.
That was only Dave. And it was not her first time talking to him. She called him. She left him messages. He ignored her.
That we never see.
And then his monkey calls her ugly.
Honestly, this might be the way to do Jana episodes from now on, is character the whole time, because she can get everything she cares out in like 5 minutes of just yelling at you. Like, she has her feelings locked in. She's ready to roll.
And I don't care if the Delroy Lindo part moves the plot along or not. It is the best part besides Joey Pants. It is the best part of the entire movie.
You like Joey Pants?
No, I love him.
He's also up there.
I mean, he is top four characters. And Herkimer Homolka would have been up there. You know, he was always one of my favorites. And then I can't believe he almost used that word. I always thought he was going to say motherfucker. Because I never watched it with subtitles, because why did I need to? I knew all the lines.
The whole movie, truly the whole movie, she's just saying the lines as they're happening. And I just pause. I'm like, Gianna, incredible. I can watch the movie on mute, like, if that's what you want.
And I'm so glad, Dave. I'm so glad that you brought, or no, was it you that brought up the part where it was, I think it was Dave, with the silverback, where he's like, I ran away. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So good.
That's a good bit.
Yeah. Because, like, the one time that he's not, you know, like, cool adventure
he loses his cool
yes,
in that moment.
Yes, exactly.
Where was all this passion on the discussion?
Herkimina had... This was the first time Herkimina had seen this.
Which, again, maybe the characters in the future are characters who have seen and loved the movie, but also happen to be Mantis people or whatever.
You're gonna be a spider person.
I think there is a spider person in your future, Cody.
or Orkana.
Yeah, you're gonna be fucking a spider or a whale.
We also could have. I don't know if you invited her to this. We could have had Kara on this too.
No, Dave was like, "There's our like. I don't want too many women. Like, there's
too
many strong women."
Get in the vent where you belong.
Yeah, I'll speak for her. She doesn't want to go to Africa. Like, she's happy where she is.
I was like, maybe halfway through, Herkimina could be like, okay, I've gotten all I need. Like, I'm going to leave.
Or you just go like...
Yeah. And then Jana talks about the movie. But I was like, but what the hell is the reason for Jana to come in?
In the future, we could do, in the intros, it could be like, you're in the intro, and then you walk out, and then a monster from the waste comes in, and you're that fire character for half. And then
Jana's not a monster.
Monster Jana was on League of Their Own. I'm so saying, she is canon.
Yeah. Yes, you're canon.
I am canon.
I'm saying, I love that you're calling Jana like a third, like she. Yes. Like,
She's too deep. I got to get her out of the character. So you could be out of the scene while a Wastelander is talking to us about the movie, then leaves, and then you come back in and you're like, yeah, so this movie was great. Well, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, true. Maybe Janice.
Just like Jana just like walked in the store in the middle of the discussion and just like had some thoughts.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. We could think a little bit more ahead on your roles, but good work.
No, it was the best episode yet.
Until Spider-Tober.
Yeah.
First of all, you did definitely play it up, I think, a little bit more when I first brought it up. Like, don't even mention spiders. And then all of a sudden, like, yeah, we can do Spider-Tober.
We can do Spider-Tober.
Spider-Tember? Is that what
Spider-Tember.
It is?
Spider-Tember.
Spider-Tember. Is there, like, a whale month that we
can... There's not a lot of whale
Free Willy franchise.
Yeah,
there's
maybe...
Free Willy. Avatar, the second one, but you guys.
Oh yeah,
that,
the second
right?
Avatar. We already did that.
We could
that.
Do it again.
Third time. Episode 3.
The third episode on Avatar 2.
There's a Whale Tale. Is that a movie?
I don't know. Shark I'm getting tail. So warm in here. All right.
But yeah, I had to say.
Watch the whale.
Freaking
yeah, that's a good one. That's
oh
a
yeah,
good
the
ball.
Whale. I would recommend it to anybody, and it's so. Funny because when we were watching it, I was like, I do not understand how this is a bad movie. Please explain to me how this is a bad movie.
I don't know.
Hey, I recommended it in the end.
No, I think that has all good pieces.
Mike didn't recommend it.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
He also said that he would never watch it again.
But I said I'd play the pinball.
Mike's got a lot. Yeah, he's got other shit going on. He's got to play pinball.
But what is bad? I don't understand how it's a bad movie.
I'd watch it again with you if you were like.
Yeah,
you
nobody would watch it with me because I'd be quoting the entire thing.
No, I just want to see your one woman stage.
Yeah.
Oh God,
yeah.
I love it.
I would put it on mute and just like what if you could just stand up and like. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah.
And I do think that there is some depth to it that, you know, a lot of that maybe on the first watch, not a lot of people get, like with the, oh, she has the voice of the teacher. Like, this is.
I didn't get that until you brought it up. I was like, that is okay. Yeah. I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I do think that, I think that the movie, you know, it's like, well, it didn't really drive the plot very much. I would be willing to bet that whoever had their hands on this also wanted to showcase a lot of Africa because not only did they do shots in the jungle and of the jungle and stuff like that, but they also had
a lot of landscape establishing.
Well, and they had a lot of talk about like the government of Africa and stuff like that. And like, how politically torn Africa can be a lot of the time. So I would like to read the book. I should have read the book before we did this just so I could see, like, okay, how does the flavor of the book and the flavor of the movie? Because I wonder if a lot of that comes from the book, too. Like, maybe Michael Crichton. Because Michael Crichton is, like, a science guy, right? He's also, like, a higher, or like, bigger thoughts and stuff like that, world thoughts kind of guy. So I wonder if the book does have a lot of that Africa stuff in it to showcase, you know, to set the scene of like, oh, it's war torn, it's politically torn, it's, you know, corrupt.
Yeah, his books have a lot of political and a lot of science, like political science and just science. And
I should read some Michael Crichton.
He's a sci-fi guy, so
because that was the thing about the Delroy Lindo part too, is he's corrupt, right? But he says, like the mystique of the African jungle. For us means a lot too, because he said the gorilla is what is going to get you in across the border, because everybody in my country is so afraid of being seen in an American movie being cruel to a gorilla. And it's like, yeah, like these are mystical, like, you know what I mean? Like there's like kind of a mystique about gorillas, even to the people that live there.
It's the opposite. He's saying like, we would kill gorillas if there are problems for us, but because you people love them so much, we won't fuck with them.
No, I don't think so.
That's what he's saying.
This is the longest epilogue I think we've ever done.
We'll just have to record
the only epilogue where it's like it actually turns around. It's like, you know, let's actually discuss the movie. We didn't really talk about it too in depth. For the
she keeps it all bottled while she's in character.
Well, like I said, I mean, I know that this was my choice for the movie, but I did for a movie. I did say in the beginning, like, I don't know if I should do this as Jana and, well, or Herkimina.
You know what? And this is the second time you've recommended the movie. And come in as a character, so you know you've figured it out. You're, yeah, like, I care too much about some of these. I want to go off. Let me go off. So I think when we record,
but it
the
also
intro,
can't be a woman one woman show. So I do think that it helps balance it out.
Yeah. So when we record the intro, we should record a little bit of you coming into the store after we've all been lasered, and then the conversation can continue.
I don't know. I'm not an editor.
Well, I'm just saying because we just put in another 15 minutes of good hard Congo work, you know?
Yeah. I like the idea that we're having this conversation as we're all like on the floor, like, yeah, bleeding, yeah, out.
Well, yeah, because Mike and Ryan barely have had to talk.
You're totally wrong. He was not talking about how Americans revere gorillas. He was talking about how they revere gorillas because he said...
We can look it up.
He said... The gorilla is what's going to get you into the country. They are not in America. They are in Africa.
But he says in American movies, being cruel to... He's
because
saying,
they're going to... They can still see American movies in Africa. And it's like Africans are being cruel to gorillas. And the African people don't like that.
Well, there's a silver lining here I think you guys are missing. You just get to watch the movie again to prove these points. So, I mean, really, this is...